Welcome to the C Word, the Conservatives podcast. Today we're talking about Christmas. I'm Chloe Romsey, an objects conservative based in Manchester, England.
And I'm Fedra Kamadromou, a conservator of antiquities based in Nicosia, Cyprus.
Yay!
Yay!
Merry Christmas! Christmas! In my mind, I'm... Ho, ho, ho! Are you feeling Christmassy yet, Fedra?
Am I? Well, I've decorated my house. Yes, I have some garlands on the staircase and a tiny, tiny Christmas tree with wooden baubles, I guess you call that in English.
Yes.
To make sure that nothing is breakable by a little child and two cats. Do I feel Christmassy? No, not really. Can I tell you the truth? I really miss Northern European Christmas.
Why?
Yeah.
It's so cold and wet and unpleasant.
Yeah, but somehow we romanticize it.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Yeah.
It's because there's so much dark that you get to have all of the pretty outside lights, I think.
Yeah.
And so cold that you have to have fires.
And glühwein, you know?
Okay.
Drinking glühwein when it's 20 degrees out, it doesn't... There's something not quite right with that. Do you feel Christmassy?
Oh, no. No, I've got no decorations up. It being the week before Christmas, I've got no decorations up. I lit a candle yesterday that I received for Christmas last year. It's a sort of jar type arrangement with sort of Christmassy sticks stuck in it and a candle in the middle. That made me feel a bit Christmassy because as the sort of evergreens heated up, it smelt a little bit like Christmas trees. But we're going away to see Tom's family in Wales. So we've not done Christmas decorations and stuff because it just seems like more stuff to try and keep the small child away from.
Yeah, it's hard.
yeah, and he's just on the, I don't know how mobile we are in your household, but Emery is on the move, so I'm constantly lifting him away from things, and Christmas decorations is just a bridge too far.
Yeah, I'm the same here. She's starting to walk, and she crawls really fast from one side to the other. She's starting to open cupboards.
Oh my god, yeah,
quite something.
Well, it is you and I on this Christmas episode, and we are also joined. We are joined in spirit and in questions by Solange. Apart from Jenny, it is a mother's episode.
It is.
Jenny is on maternity leave still until next season, and we also need to review our predictions from last year. It's been an interesting year you and I have had, Fedra.
Maybe we can talk about the object of the year. What has been your item, object, anything of the year? So I'd say that for me, it would be the nose Frida.
Because
I go to work and I pinch it, you know, to get dust off of artifacts. And then I come home and I release pressure to take all the snot off of my daughter's nose.
That's amazing!
I'd say for me, the item of the year is the nose Frida. Or, I don't know, a dust blower, as conservators would call it. I'm not sure.
Yes. I can't remember. We've definitely talked about this on the podcast before. The what the hell is that called? It's like a blowy rubber bulb.
Yeah.
Thing. What is that it called? Thing. That thing. Yeah. That's a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
What's my item of the year? One that I would carry over to conservation or just in general?
In general.
You know what I've really enjoyed? And this might, for people who are more familiar with raising children than I am, this might be like, of course everybody does this. But when Emery was about 5 months old, so just about like he could sit, but if you had your hands next to him, kind of thing. My neighbor, who's really experienced in raising children, has done childminding and fostering and had loads of her own family and everything, bought me a basket which she called a treasure basket. Mm-hmm. And it's just filled with things like doorstops and uh-huh. napkin rings, and there's a painted wooden ball in there that's a, you know, an ornamental ball. There's cool. paperweights, a spoon, candle holders, egg cups, like just things made out of different materials. I think there's a horse mm-hmm. brass in there as well. Things that are safe for a baby to chew on, but mm-hmm. there are loads of different textures, different temperatures, different weights and shapes and stuff. Things made out of wicker as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And from a sort of interest in materials point of view, I find it really interesting to watch him just play with it. And he will get hours mm-hmm. out of it, not at once, yeah. obviously. Just so much time just looking in it. And he'll sort of crawl over to his basket excitedly and tip it over and select things from the heap and, mm-hmm. you know, bite on them and pull on them and wave them about and stuff. Hold them nice. In his hands. And it's just really... So it's a toy, but it's more like a sort of discovery... experience.
Mystery box.
Yeah. So it's not a parenting tool like the snot sucker. I am fascinated by the snot suckers, but Emery hates them, and I've never been able to get him to, you know, not just yell in mm-hmm. horror every time.
yeah.
But in terms of like quiet investigation, I've been really impressed by this, because I've always thought that kids, you know, they need the big colourful noise making something something. But this is mm-hmm. the opposite of that. So yeah, that's what I've really liked. I could say that as an assemblage of things.
Mm-hmm.
Of found objects.
Shall we look back at our predictions?
Let's do predictions. Yeah.
Predictions.
So.
What were our predictions?
Mm-hmm. Now we do need Liz for this, because I don't know. Liz mm-hmm. predicted in our last Christmas episode, 2024, that there was going to be some cleaning controversy for the Notre Dame conservation. Have That's you heard anything right. about that?
I have not, actually, but maybe it's still too soon. Maybe this year we will find some controversy. Yeah, they've also been attacking the Grand Egyptian Museum.
Have they? Why?
On social media, they do nothing but criticize anything. Why? And everything. I don't know.
What do they criticize? It looks great.
Yeah, I know. Apparently, some rainwater seeped through the ceiling this week, because it's been raining heavily. I don't know. I keep seeing. On social media, comments about ticketing disasters and you know, online bookings that
systems not working as they're hoped to work.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the hype is so big; they have so many tourists that maybe
yeah.
it's hard to handle.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, maybe that's maybe the Grand Egyptian Museum has a taken over and nobody cares about. No, I wouldn't say that. But maybe the scandals of Notre Dame sliding away.
I mean, in terms of leaks, museum roof leaks, we in the UK are none to judge, really, are we? Because I have never worked in a museum
mm-hmm.
where water does not leak in. It's rainwater.
Yeah.
It's just can't. Have I? Maybe the Pitt Rivers.
Mm.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe that didn't leak. But then the store will have leaked, though they have moved mm-hmm. there now. They moved
yeah.
from there now. Yeah, no, I can't think of any museum that doesn't leak.
No, that's true. Well, ours even leaks. Ours was built in the
Okay,
1920s, to be fair. Yeah, no, I mean, it's also, when you build something new, there will, of course, be little repairs that need to
Of
happen within
course.
the first few months.
Yeah, of
That's
course.
completely logical. Give them some credits.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Right.
You and I should definitely go to Egypt. That's a
Oh
separate
my
topic.
gosh.
Oh my God. Can you imagine doing
Maybe
recording?
predictions.
Oh.
Prediction for 2026, recording at the Grand Egyptian Museum.
Oh my God. Hey, that's an idea. Oh my God.
Yeah. I won't lie, I was dreaming of going for New Year's Eve, and I still am. If for some reason there are really cheap tickets last minute, I am going because
Well, like
I would
next
love to
week.
do. Yeah. I know. I'm really close.
Oh, my God. Wow, get
Yeah.
that
Yeah. Yeah. And a belly dance show and a cruise on the Nile.
Oh, my God. That would be
Yeah. The
fantastic.
dream.
The dream.
Yeah.
Camellia. You could go and see Camellia at the Nile
Mm,
Maxime.
yeah.
Oh, my God. So, what was our other prediction? Second prediction was from you. Non-UK repatriations. You predicted that there would be more non-UK repatriations.
Yeah, plenty of non-UK repatriations have happened here in
Have
Cyprus.
they? Congrats,
Yeah.
Cyprus. Nice one.
Yeah, so basically Cyprus is taking the presidency of the European Council in January, and so they have been working hard on repatriating objects
Wonderful.
this year. So yeah, kudos to them.
What countries are there off the top of your head?
So I think we've had from Germany, Switzerland, the United States. Yeah. I don't know, my bus is traveling all the time to
Wow.
countries to repatriate.
Oh my
Yeah, what a
God.
job.
Okay, well,
Yeah.
good prediction. That was a good one. Yep. Tick. Solange. Solange was very cheery. She predicted that there would be more flooding. But also a focus on disaster preparedness in terms of training. So that's quite a UK-based one. I don't know if that we've had a lot of rain this past 3 months, but for like 6 months there was a drought in the UK.
Was there?
Yeah, it was from April-ish, I think, to September. Is that 6 months? September,
Oh, weird.
October. There was barely any rain. It was wild. All the reservoirs were super dry. So I don't know if that one came true, but I mean, as they say, there's
What
still time at the end of
about
the
imagine cataclysm,
year. Oh
in
my
the for
God.
last 2 weeks.
It has been, I know in Wales now there is an awful lot of rain, so hopefully everyone's doing okay down there. But I believe Jenny has been doing some disaster preparedness training herself, as in and giving disaster preparedness training herself
Very nice.
as a freelancer. So that's let's say that one came true because that seems right. Yeah?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Wonderful. Now I don't know the response. I don't know the outcome of this one. Jenny predicted that there would be changes in how local authority museums are run because of the political changes that occurred in the UK in the summer of 2024. Maybe I wouldn't be surprised if this was the case. So it's the council changes in how councils was run and how councils are funded, because of course local authority museums are rather at the mercy of what else is happening within local authorities. But what I do know is that I haven't really heard much about things happening within culture in the UK? Like, I feel like there hasn't been much in the way of funding changes. Mm. Maybe there has, and I've just been wildly out of it being on maternity leave.
Yeah, maybe we're not the greatest sources.
I know. Let's talk about current events in conservation. I know that there's been like support funds and stuff for cost mm-hmm. of living and stuff in the last year or two, but I've not seen any really obvious like, and culture's getting this much more mm-hmm. per year or anything like that. So alas, no, but you never know. Jenny also predicted
two more weeks, you know,
two more weeks, guys.
Maybe there will be a surplus, you know, funding. They have to spend the last bit of funding somewhere, you know, and museums will suddenly have their bank accounts exploding the last 2 weeks of 2025.
Yes, that's what's going to happen. Yeah, all of the billionaires are going to be like, you know, maybe I don't need this money.
That's right, that's totally plausible.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what's going to happen. So the last prediction was my prediction. I predicted mm-hmm. that you and I would be spending a lot of time at home because of our imminent babies, which I think came true.
They came true, and congratulations to us for keeping two human beings alive for almost a year.
We did it! Yeah. I can't believe they're nearly one. It's crazy. Yeah, and you've already returned to work. I'm still on maternity leave from my work, but you've returned to work. And how is it being a conservator mum?
Oh, it's, it took some adjustment. Uh-huh. I definitely, because I'm involved with the C word and with the IIC as well. So sometimes I have to wake up at 3 a.m. to answer emails. But it's been really rewarding, actually, and it's beautiful to see that, you know, I tell myself, oh my gosh, I can do this, you know, like I'm doing this. My husband complains sometimes, and he's not wrong for complaining about how overbooked I am, but I don't know, you know, you work to provide for your family, and I do all these side projects to be a better person, and I hope that's then I will understand that someday. I don't know.
Definitely. I think they need to see their mums being busy and intelligent and intellectually involved in all sorts of things. I think this can only be a positive thing.
That's right. And also, I try to be healthy for my kids, so I go to the gym sometimes in the morning before work.
Congratulations. Oh my God. What? You what?
I try. I don't sleep.
Oh, well, congratulations. Good work. Good work.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you. Oh, do we have any predictions for this year?
Predictions for this year. I predict a trip to Georgia for myself. This year is a big year. 2026, mm-hmm. I am turning 30. Entering the fourth decade of my life.
Big number.
I
remember 30.
Oh, that wasn't that long ago.
It was long enough ago.
Yeah, my husband is turning 40 and my kid is turning 1, so we're gonna do the trip that we've been dreaming about for the past 10 years. So we're going to Georgia, the country, not the state.
Nope.
So Georgia is a fantastic place. It has some of the most beautiful dance traditions that I've ever seen. Have you ever seen Georgian dance?
Yes, I have.
Yeah,
It's
I the
glorious.
Georgian Ballet came to Cyprus in
Yes.
2025, and that was just mesmerizing. It didn't make any sense. Gravity did not exist in the theater. And so I would love to go see that and also take classes. You can take like touristy 2-hour classes and destroy your
Amazing.
knees. But they also have they have ancient temples. They also have some of the earliest Christian churches,
Amazing.
and also so I think the oldest still surviving winemaking tradition.
Oh.
Yeah, they have really good wine in Georgia. Yeah, and fantastic food. So it's just the perfect trip.
Well, you're going to have to do some road trip recording from there, I think.
Definitely. Yeah,
Yeah,
I'll
that
do that.
sounds
So that's
amazing.
my prediction. Some Georgia will appear on season 18 or 19 of The C Word.
Glorious. That sounds amazing. I don't know if I have a prediction. I haven't thought of one in advance. This is bad. Well, I could predict I would like to go to Cairo again in just after Emery has won. And I have friends there and stuff, so I'm hoping that it will be a nice domestic trip rather than a sort of go to all the things trip. But
Will happen.
I would love to go and see the new National Museum.
Oh,
I would
yeah.
love to. It would be amazing. And I would also
Yeah.
love to somehow arrange going to speak to some of the conservators there about how it was setting it up and stuff. That would be fantastic.
I'm sure you can. I don't know. They seem friendly on LinkedIn.
Ah, see,
I
I've
keep.
let LinkedIn slide. I need to prepare myself
I don't know if it's because I mentioned that I'm a conservator in Cyprus on LinkedIn, but I have so many requests from Egyptian conservators, and a lot of them working from the Grand Egyptian Museum.
Oh,
So,
fantastic.
so
Yeah,
yeah,
well, you've
get on
got
LinkedIn and
contacts.
then go to
Yeah,
Egypt.
definitely you've got
Yeah.
contacts. Just going sounds fantastic, to be honest. Anyway, it's not really a prediction. I would like to go, but Emery doesn't even have a passport yet, so we'll see.
It's a prediction. It's gonna
It's a
happen.
prediction. It's gonna happen.
It's
It's
a
gonna happen.
prediction. Yes.
Yep. Yep. I predict that.
Maybe a 2026 C Word reunion, like in
Oh,
person,
that would
maybe.
be so nice.
There are multiple conferences we can meet up in, I
Yeah, there's one
think.
in Edinburgh.
I
Icon one in
know.
Edinburgh. That would be good.
That would be great. I love Edinburgh. I spent a few
Yeah.
years in Edinburgh.
Oh, of course you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do that. This will be an interesting one to listen back to next year. And we're like, well, I didn't know any of those things. Georgia will definitely happen. So, as we said at the beginning, Solange sent us some questions. Shall we see what she would like to ask us first?
If you could choose any historic house or museum without the public there, which one would you choose to spend Christmas Day in?
So, without doubt, I would say the cathedral in Strasbourg in France.
Oh my God. It's not a historic house, but it's a cathedral. It counts, right?
Why? Why? What are your reasons?
So I used to go every year to Strasbourg in May for the European Days, Europe Day, 9th of May. In that cathedral, they have a clock, astronomical clock.
Yeah.
Like it kind of predicts where the planets will be. It has all kinds of astronomical features, and every quarter of the hour, there's one little figurine that comes out as the clock is ticking.
Adorable.
Then 30 minutes, then 45, and at the hour, and it changes. And then at 12 o'clock or 12:30, there's a big, little like little figurines that appear and disappear and go. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's super cute, and I know that they decorate the cathedral really nicely for Christmas. I'd really like to. I've never seen it at Christmas time, and I'm also kind of curious to see if, because you know, like the depending on the time of the day, like at 12 o'clock or at midnight, there are more figurines than, you know, than at the quarter of the hour. Like the number of figures kind of increase. So I would love to see what happens on New Year's, you know, if
Nice.
something crazy happens on New Year's. And every time I've been, there were so many people. So I would love to see that and be alone, you know,
Yeah, that
and
sounds
bring my
amazing.
little family. What about you?
See, I was thinking, like, you know what? Buckingham Palace, it's not a historic house and it's somebody's house, but you know, because it's somebody's house and it's a sort of, it's kind of embedded in so much like deep tradition in all aspects of life. It'd be really interesting to see what they look like at Christmas time. But I'm not a wild fan of the royal family. So I think what I would rather do is have Chatsworth to myself on Christmas Day. I think that
All
would be
right.
amazing because it's obviously amazing, but also that I'm just really enjoying the National Trust's like Christmas content. I feel like they do it really well, and it would take out a lot of take away quite a lot of the effort of Christmas, quite a lot of the sort of creativity thinking, of course the decorations for a start, but a lot of the humor and the traditions and stuff that would just be done for you. So what next, Solange?
If Father Christmas left you a winning lottery ticket in your stocking this year, would you continue to work in conservation? I would. I couldn't stop working. I can't. If I have nothing to do, I go crazy, first of all. You know, even during maternity leave, I felt sometime like I needed something to do, you know, related somehow to conservation, honestly.
Oh, hence the IIC.
Pretty much, And you know, I think I would open a museum of conservation history and have like all kinds of old crazy tools and talk about ethics and the evolution of the field, you know.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
I think, yeah, maybe that's my retirement plan.
Oh, hey, to win the lottery and then open a museum.
Well, I don't know about the lottery. But it would have to be in some random area in the middle of nowhere. I
Yeah,
don't
of
want it
course.
in a big city.
No.
I want a place that doesn't have much so that this can be the big attraction of the area.
Amazing. Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Would you have like a laser sky laser show for the opening, like the Grand Egyptian Museum, but instead of a sarcophagus, it could be like a scalpel and a bit of smoke sponge.
I'm going to hire you for my advertising team. That would be amazing.
Perfect.
What about you? Would you?
I would continue to work in conservation, yes. But I think what I would do is, so I've always liked, depending on the amount of money you win in the lottery, which I don't play. But I've always thought it would be fantastic to start a funding body, essentially, and be a funding body that focuses just on conservation and like the sort of the conservation just needs to be done type projects, or the store just needs to be done type projects, yeah, rather than like, we're gonna have all this outreach and amazing this and that and oh, look at the worthiness of this project. Like, those things are fantastic, but sometimes you just want the conservation to be done and you don't want it to be fancy. So yeah, I've always thought that would be really cool, but I think what I'd love to do is open a studio and just create loads of jobs, just employ loads of early career conservators just all the time. I would love to do that. Like,
very sweet, like, specialist of you.
I just it would be so good, because I really like whenever we can have students in my job, and when we've done the early career textile conservator focused role, which we've only been able to do twice, which is really sad. I've just loved it. It's been so good to just allow people the time that they need to practice their work, and, like, you know, allow people to make mistakes and discover better ways of doing things, and, like, just learn whilst doing. I'd love to do that. I'd love to, you know, offer apprenticeships or something. That would be fantastic. Rather than this kind of constant, it would be so good. Because if you're in a workplace, you kind of constantly have to justify this. And, oh, how much work will they be able to get done? And will it be, you know, will you spend too much time doing the teaching with the amount of, you know, output? Blah, 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 blah. No, so that, I think. Or just spend the rest of my life doing all of the Westine courses. Just one after another. Like, I think this month I will do silversmithing. Just live in Westine doing courses all the time. That would be amazing. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Well, that can be your retirement plan.
That could be my retirement plan. That's true.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah.
would you go back to uni after retirement?
No.
No?
No, I've done too many degrees. Oh, what would you study?
Linguistics.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you are really good at languages. You speak like five? That's what
Well, fluently three, but yeah.
Only three, Fedra.
I was groomed to become a translator.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I've done some translations in museum context before. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, that's good.
Anyway, so I do love linguistics and the development of languages and how they intertwine from one to the other.
Yeah.
So. I would, actually. I don't know. As I've said, I can't sit doing nothing. So the idea of being retired doesn't entice me. I need a project. I know I'm going to be 30 and I'm already thinking about the project that I will be doing in retirement. I'm a crazy lady.
What's next, Solange?
If Father Christmas's elves could create a novel piece of conservation equipment for you, what would you have them design and build?
Oh my god.
Well, I've already expressed my love for acupuncture needles.
Oh yes, you have.
but they're not that expensive. How can we make an acupuncture needle novel? I don't know.
What would it be?
Yeah.
I think mind was like a washing machine for textile objects, but that didn't cause damage. And by, I don't mean like a traditional the drum goes round washing machine. I mean like a big, you put the object in and it does like all of the patting and the rinsing and the draining and all of that for you. That because it's elves, right? The elves are doing it, so it doesn't need to be feasible.
And elves are very careful people.
Exactly.
You do fantastic work. My grandma, to this day, she will say that the washing machine is the greatest invention in that the human has ever made.
Really?
And I mean, yeah, I mean, she used to go to the lake to wash all of the clothes. So the day my
Wow.
grandfather came home with a washing machine was for her just the greatest day. It saved her so much time and effort, so
That's
yeah.
amazing.
A conservation grade washing machine. I like
Yeah,
that.
yeah, yeah. I think that would be, yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
I don't know. Yeah, I was say I when Solange sent that question, I was thinking about it, but to be honest, I didn't find an answer. I'm not I don't have that much imagination.
How about like a 3D printer that did mounts out of any material? Because I feel like the problem with 3D printing is that, and I know, I apologize, I did not listen to the episode that you did last season about the 3D printing plastics. But I know that there is problem with deterioration. And also, you don't always want a mount made out of plastic. So, like, you put you show it the object and say, I want a mount for this, please. And it
Ooh,
just
that would
prints
be.
it out of any material that you want. Like, I will select Perspex today. That would be amazing.
Would be a great invention. Someone get on it.
Yeah,
This
please.
is yeah, you've got some great ideas.
I'm just never satisfied. Like, I wish we could mechanize this. Okay, elves, if you're listening, we've been very good this year. We've worked very hard.
That's true. We kept a human being alive.
We did. What's your last question then, Solange?
This year in your stocking, an object turns up that you once lost, and you've never quite been able to let go of it. What object is that? Is it a tool? Is it just something you owned before? Is it an earring that you lost and you've still got the other pair of?
Aw, okay. I mean, it's a plausible storyline for me, but I bought my first ever piece of art in Zambia when I was 16. I went on a school trip to Zambia. I know. So yeah. There was this guy who was just painting in the streets. He had like all kinds of art just laid on the ground, and there was this beautiful painting. It was a blue background and then white chalk, and there was like the moon, the moonlight, a little lake and elephants walking. And I fell in love with it, and I thought this will remind me of my trip to Africa. For the rest of my life, and I had it hanging on my in my room until in Brussels until 2018 when my parents moved. So now it's in a box somewhere. I don't know where. It might be in France at my sister's. It might be in northern Greece at my grandma's. It might be at my parents' house on the island of Thasos. I have no idea where it
Oh
is,
my
but it.
gosh.
And in what state it is, because it's been in a box since 2018 with all of my childhood stuff. So if I can I need to just open all those boxes and figure it out and yeah, fish it out of there.
So it could come
Yeah.
true.
It could come true, yeah.
Could that be a prediction for 2026?
Ooh, okay. Let's put that on the list, actually. I like it. I'll try my best. Yeah, my first piece of art.
Lovely. What would mine be? So I have a conservation one, and I'm gonna go for a non-conservation one. My
Do both.
non-conservation one is when I was 18, my mum taught me to knit socks. And since then, I have knitted so many pairs of socks and as many pairs as I could. I've just been knitting socks almost constantly, and gifting people
Oh,
socks.
that's sweet.
The original pair of socks is so beautifully knitted, but I only have one of them. So this is mum the socks that mum knitted me whilst she taught me to knit. I only have one of the socks. I don't know where the other one is. I would like the other sock back. That's my I would love that to be returned to me. God knows what. I think I just was 18 at it and lost it because, you know.
Have there been many moves in your family, or could it be under a piece of furniture somewhere?
See, that's the thing with lost objects. It must be somewhere, but I don't know where. I remember I had it in halls in university in the first year. That's the last time I remember having it. It's been lost since then. So I think maybe not. I think it's just gone forever.
Maybe students have been wearing it in this hall, continuously in that room of yours. Maybe
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
it's a university tradition at this point.
Yes, absolutely. Well, with the other one, I've been thinking like maybe I found it the other day and thought perhaps I could turn this into a sock puppet for Emery. Like a little character. I could knit a little pink tongue for it and stuff. Maybe I'll do that.
That's great reuse.
Christmas present, ideal. My conservation one, they aren't lost. It's not a lost object, but it is in all ways lost, apart from physically. I think I may have spoken about this grief before on the podcast. About 7 years ago, I dropped my favorite tweezers and they landed point down in the linoleum of the floor. And one of the tines is bent a bit, which means that they are useless. And they were perfect. They were the perfect tweezers. They were so effective. And now they just don't work anymore. And I'm still sad about it. So if I found the object I would like to find in my stocking would be those tweezers made new.
I mean, is it a brand that you can find?
No. No,
No.
it's just I can't even remember where I got them from. I think it was like a craft fair, or maybe it was a miniatures supply store or something like that. But
I
I've
see.
bought so many pairs of needle nose of tweezers, like the teeny tiny tweezers before, and they've never been the same.
No. That's sad.
That's
I
sad, yeah. That's what I would like.
know. Our toolbox, our tool roll rather, from Cardiff University.
Yes.
I've gotten a good use out of them, and things are starting to not work as before. So I feel you.
That was a good tool roll. Yeah. Oh, so that's Solange's questions.
She had such good
She
questions.
has such good questions. Thanks, Solange. So the last thing I'm going to ask you, Fedra, because I don't think I've asked you about this before. Is there a Christmas object in your house or your family that is historic to you, is important to you?
So, as I've said, I miss Northern European Christmas, because I used to celebrate Christmas in Brussels. It was nice and cold, sometimes snowy, and we had nice Nice little Christmas traditions. And since 2018, when my parents moved out, we've been celebrating in Cyprus. I used to come see my family. Now I'm part of the actual people living in Cyprus, and my family comes to me. So I miss those traditions. I miss the food, mostly. I mean, being so close to France, I miss the cheeses.
Oh my God.
Is that an acceptable answer?
Yeah,
I miss
definitely.
Christmas
Cheese is
cheese.
always an acceptable answer.
But I have an object that I bought at a Christmas fair here in Cyprus 2 years ago, and it just brings me so much joy. So I think it will be my. It has become kind of a tradition. We've been talking. It's a gourd that has been painted. They do that in Cyprus. They paint gourds. Like they empty the and they paint them, and it's in the it's painted as Santa Claus. I'll show you.
Yes,
Maybe
please.
we can include a photograph
Oh my God,
for
yes.
the listeners.
Oh my God, yes.
It's this little guy. Isn't he adorable?
He
Like
is
the polka dots.
adorable. Oh my. I love it. I love it so much.
So I've been, with my husband, we were talking even like in the summer about how we can't wait for Christmas so that we can put it back on the decor.
Amazing.
Do you have one yourself?
Yes. I have, well, I suppose there's a range of things. And it all has to do with my grandparents on my dad's side. So they had a very sort of maybe formulaic set of Christmas traditions. We have like a set of tablecloths, for example, that are only bought out on a special occasion. So this is like just Christmas and birthdays. And they're, I think, some of them are made by past family members, so cotton lace, handmade lace cotton, cotton lace, excuse me, or embroidered, and some of them are Edwardian, but of the same kind of type. So we cycle through using them at Christmas, and the other thing is the dragon plates, which is a service of plates which I believe is Edwardian. They're not particularly fancy, but they are old, and every single year they've been used for Christmas dinner. And they are only used at Christmas dinner. There's a matching like meat plate and gravy boat. I think bowls as well. But they are really showing their age now, and one of them is cracked down the middle, and so we avoid using that one and stuff. But they are the dragon plates, and however sort of much we would try and like clear out the stuff for best and the china services and stuff that have been handed down, those ones will always have to stay because they are the Christmas plates.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's
But
lovely.
do you serve cheese on those Christmas plates?
Yeah, we can do. It's normally gravy though. Normally gravy and vegetables. And meat and all of that sort of thing. Yeah,
Solid.
we don't tend to have a cheese course. The cheese tends to come at like that post dinner supper kind of time. Yeah.
So you call them dragon plates. What do you mean by dragon plates?
So yeah, see, so embedded is this in my brain that it didn't even occur to me to explain. They just have a print on them that is dragon shaped. I believe they're at my parents' house now. They've moved. So I think that, yeah, I might have to get hold of a photograph of one of them and post them. Yeah, so it's a kind of around the edge of the plate, a sort of dark red dragon with green surrounds. I don't know what the
Fun.
origin is. I know there's a maker's mark on the back of each of them. I don't know what it is. I've not looked into it at all as a conservator or anything. they are just the dragon plates. And every year you take them out and you give them a wash, and then you put them out and you put all the crackers beside them on the Edwardian tablecloth, and it's all very like
Oh, sweet.
nice. Yeah. And you tip gravy over everything because, you know, you have complete disregard for materials deterioration.
Well, to all of our listeners, I wish you a beautiful Christmas with full of gravy and cheese.
Yeah, the two main food groups.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening. We're the C Word, and you've been listening to Chloe and Frederick. You can find us on thecword.show or contact us on thecwordpodcast@gmail.com or find us on social media. If you'd like to, please support us on Patreon. Intro and outro music is Spring by DD Mystic, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. This is a Wooden Dice production.